Welcome in Fontainebridge Green next to the canal. Here we'll talk about air pollution and lichens. On your way to the canal, did you see the flowers blooming through the crevices of the cement? Wild nests can be observed everywhere in the city. But what do you think is the link between lichens and air pollution? As we said earlier, an organism is affected by its environment and in turn alters its habitat. This is what ecologists study, the relationship between organism and the environment. Thus, by recording the absence or presence of certain lichen species, we can get an idea of the state of the habitat. Jennifer Gabris, in her paper in 2012 called Becoming Urban, Site Work from a Mouse Eye View, says, lichens, like mosses, incorporate the material effects of urban ecologies across time and space, and therefore form a process of bioindication in the city, capturing pollutants and transforming them into resources accessible to other organisms. But what is bioindication? Bioindication is a process whereby environmental pollution becomes embedded in the bodies of and the relationship between organisms. These organisms express the accumulation of pollution through physiological or other observable changes. Lichens are interesting for assessing pollution levels because they are sensitive to air composition. The reasons are as follows. Lichens do not have roots. They have rhizines that allow them to attach to the substrates and therefore absorb the nutrient from the air. Lichens do not have a protective layer, a cuticle, which means that pollutants can easily enter into the fungal and algae cells. In addition, lichens grow very slowly, so that any injury cannot be easily repaired. To give you an extreme example, the growth rate of lichens in harsh environments such as continental Antarctica is 1 centimeter per 1,000 years. Lichens are affected by pollution, and these changes can be seen in their morphologies. We can therefore assess the quality and composition of the habitat by observing the presence and/or the absence of certain lichen species. For example, in an old forest in Scotland where the air is clean, you will find many lichens of the genus Usna. Because these lichens are extremely sensitive to air pollutants, such as nitrogen dioxide, mainly emitted by fuel combustion. A picture of the lichen from the genus Usna is on the website. In cities, on the other hand, we find lichen species that are more tolerant to air pollution. The species that we have seen up until now are all tolerant to nitrogen dioxide, such as Sanctoria parietina, Fiscia adscendens, Fisconia grisea, Punctelia subrhodecta. The assessment of air quality through studying changes in the distribution and diversity of lichens is increasingly used in cities. If this is done regularly, one can even observe the potential changes in the air composition in the city over time. For example, before 1990, sulfur dioxide, SO2, a pollutant emitted mainly by industries, was prevalent in many cities. In 1990, the Clean Air Act and an international treaty were created to decrease the concentration of sulfur dioxide in the air. It worked because the distribution of lichens in the city changed. Lichens that thrived in an environment with SO2 gradually disappeared, and other more sensitive lichens repopulated the cities. It is also interesting to think about the impact that reduced pollution has on modern human species and the legitimacy of valuing this non-polluted environment at the expense of other species. Lichens can be affected by changes in the habitat on several levels. For example, temperature change, storms, heavy rainfall can affect lichens' community, as can the surface of a tree trunk. If a crack is created in certain places, it can change the way water flows down the trunk and affect the distribution of lichens. Thus, small details matter. lichens, and citizen science. In the UK, the Natural History Museum in London created a project called OPAL, Open Air Laboratory Based on Lichens. The project was based on citizen science. This means that citizens were involved in the data collection and were invited to record and observe lichen species in the area where they lived. One of the benefits of citizen science is that it creates a huge database and a better understanding of the dynamics of a surrounding environment. Citizen science also allows citizens to be involved in understanding and observing the environment and learning from it. This study, OPAL, has observed several changes. Firstly, the fact that lichen species tolerant to nitrogen dioxide have become widespread throughout the UK in cities and in the countryside. This could be caused by traffic, but also by the fertilizer used in fields for intensive agriculture. Some so-called intermediate lichens, which can live in more than one environment, have also been found in towns and cities and therefore have a widespread distribution. Environmental pollution and its effects on humans. Air pollution has an impact on lichens, but also on our health. Human exposure to pollution leads to respiratory and cardiovascular disease. Pollutant particles have also been found lodged in the heart and brains of humans. In Europe, 800,000 people die each year from pollution-related causes. Pollution is just a problem of environmental health as much as it is a problem of the health of our bodies. These can lead us to rethink urban spaces and their infrastructure to make more room for other organisms. We know that lichens, among other organisms, are impacted by changes in the infrastructure and management of the city. Hence, how can we, as urban residents, recognize the presence of other organisms in the city? I'd like to finish with a quote from Jennifer Gabris again. And she says, "It takes learning to recognize and be interrupted by the presence, strength, and forms of organism of other species than humans, and to notice the role they play in the construction and disruption of public places."
An identification activity now. I would like to introduce you to two common lichens of the type Christos. One is Lichenura claritera, and the other is Lecidella elaeochroma. You will also see Xanthoria parietina that we've already identified and the species of the genus Fischia on the tree. Lecidella elaeochroma is a Christos lichen and has black apothecia, so the reproductive apparatus that we'll talk about later on the walk, and the talus is almost transparent or greenish. The black lines that you can see on the tree between different individuals determine the separation between these different individuals. These are structures, so the black lines, only made of fungal particles. Lecanora clarotera as well as Lecidella elaeochroma are found in polluted environment. Lastly, Lecanora clarotera is a Christos lichen as well. It has a white talus and apothecia that looks like pie with borders and that are brown inside. When the organism is very wet, the apothecia, so this structure which are the reproductive apparatuses, can change shape due to the saturation with water. If you are motivated to try and explore the environment in which you live, you can start. There are plenty of tools at your disposal, even if you know nothing about lichens. You can first check out the website of the OPAL survey, and they have an air survey booklet where you can identify the species of lichens and know more or less what type of environment you live in terms of air pollution. I say, let's rethink the city together. Let's think, how can we create cities that are inspired by and responsive to wildlife? This is a challenge for all of us city dwellers. As always, all the references can be found on the website, and that will meet at Darry Park. See you there.